Hello, everyone. Oh, Christy, you did not check your hair before you got on this call. It's looking kind of wild, y'all. It's been a day. How is everybody? Come on in. Okay, wait, I need to move my chat so I can see what y'all are talking about. I am Coach Christy. I am so pumped. I know we all say that on every call, don't we? All us coaches say that we're so excited to be on this call, but I truly am because the topic tonight is near and dear to my heart, nighttime eating and drinking. So I want to talk a little bit about like my journey with that, just because I bet y'all can relate. Hey, Annette, good to see you. I'm a little distracted. Okay. I want to share. So when I coach my private clients, one of the things that sometimes I like to do is I like to say, hey, give me a list of all the things that you think are keeping you from losing weight or maintaining your weight or wherever you are in your journey. And we sort of make this long list. And a lot of times it's, I need to figure out, how to go on vacation and not come back with 7 pounds. I need to, figure out how to, not eat the stuff that's free in the cafeteria at my job. Or, I need to figure out how to not revenge eat when I'm mad at my husband. I mean, not that I've ever done that, but, some of y'all might have. Wink, wink, right? But the other thing is that I hear a lot is it's the nighttime. I start out my day with the best of intentions, and then I just, I find myself roaming in the fridge or in the pantry, and I'm thinking like, I'm just gonna have this little extra drink. I just need to relax. I just need to wind down. Maybe it's stress. Maybe it's just your habit. Maybe this is just like, well, actually, I'm kind of new to no BS and I just never really thought about eating at night. And, maybe that was leading me to weight gain or being stuck in my journey. Maybe it's boredom. Maybe it's just plain old, I just deserve this. It's been a day or something like that. But here's the truth. Like nighttime eating and drinking, it really isn't about just the food. I mean, sometimes it can be. Sometimes it can be because, you're restricting and, the nighttime is just when you run out of willpower, type thing. And so you have all the things that you haven't allowed yourself to have. Sometimes it can be about that, but sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's just a pattern. And a lot of times it's the story we tell ourselves. So, okay. So tonight we're going to talk about it. We're going to coach about it. So I'd love to see some hands raised. If you feel like, hey, I want to talk to Christy about my nighttime eating and or drinking, and I want to figure out how to stop doing that. Because number one, that's not the kind of person I want to be. And number two, it's kind of getting me stalled in my weight loss. So as y'all are thinking about raising your hand, hello from Central Illinois. Hey, Nancy. Yep, it's me, says Suzanne. Okay, good. So Suzanne, I better see your hand raised in just a second. But as we talk about this, I want to just tell y'all about my journey with nighttime eating. I grew up, I was a like a lot of you probably, if you want dessert, you have to finish your dinner type thing. And we usually had dessert after dinner. It was just what you did, right? And so it was partly for me a habit. But I knew that it was something that I was going to have to look at because I found Corinne Crabtree, like most of y'all, and she says you have to only eat when you're hungry and stop when your body has enough. And of course, my first thought was, well, then how do you ever have dessert? Because I never ate dessert when I was hungry. Like it was always like an extra, like it was on top of, right? So I figured I was going to have to figure this out because I was probably eating, not that we count calories and no BS, but I really probably was eating, I don't know, 2 to 4 or 5, maybe 600 calories of ice cream sundaes and a piece of cake and, 4 or 5 Oreos. And, it is kind of ridiculous how many calories are in an Oreo. I just think it's unfair. I just think something that little should not have that many calories because, of course, I'm eating the double stuffed, right? Anyway, I digress. But I had to figure that out, right? I had to really think, okay, this is probably a place that I really, if I'm, remember, I told you in the beginning, like, I'll have my clients make a long list. I did the same thing for myself. I was like, okay, I took each thing that I came up with and I was like, I know I'm overeating in these places, vacations, after dinner. When I go out to eat, because I never learned how to go out to eat and stop it enough, I kind of thought I got to work on all of these things. Now, I didn't work on them all at the same time. I sort of took one down off the bulletin board at a time and I said, okay, today I'm going to work on this and I'm going to stick with it until I figure it out. So, nighttime eating and drinking for me were one of them. So, I heard Corinne on a call say, Say, okay, if you want to know why you're eating at night, take it away and then listen for what your brain says. And so I thought about this for a while, and it took me, I'm just gonna be honest, it took me a while to come up with the courage to actually not plan it and then listen to what my brain said. And for me, what I figured out was it was the highlight of my day. It was the thing that I looked forward to. It was like the joyous part of my day. And I know where that came from. It came from years of restricting myself throughout the day. I mean, thumbs up if you did Weight Watchers and you were counting points and maybe you were counting calories, right? And so I would figure out how many points my dinner and dessert was. And then I would, yeah, thumbs up, everybody. And then I would subtract that amount from my daily allowance. And that was what I had for lunch and breakfast. So, I mean, there were times that I was working with, okay, Christy, you got 6 points for your lunch and your breakfast. Now, what are you going to have? And so I would be hungry because that's all I had. So I would figure out how much food could I get in for the least amount of points. A lot of times it was like, I can have a salad because that's zero, just the lettuce, obviously. And then I think my dressing is like 1 point, and then maybe I could have some lunch meat on it. So that's a 3 point lunch. And I would just play this game. And so, number one, I was hungry by the time dinner rolled around, and I was telling myself I need to like load up on food. And number two, it was like the most exciting part of the day because I didn't like what I ate the rest of the part of the day. So when I took away the dessert, I literally heard my Steve, y'all know I name my habit brain Steve. I literally heard Steve say, "Well, what do we have to look forward to now? We got nothing." And I was like, "Holy shit." I'm like, "No wonder I'm struggling breaking this habit of dessert. It truly was the best part of my day." And then I took it away and it was like, "Well, now what are we going to do? What do we have to look forward to?" So I realized a couple of things. One is I needed to start planning those foods on a regular basis throughout the day. Like I needed to have a cookie in the middle of the day. I needed to do those kinds of things. I needed to stop restricting everything throughout my day. The other thing was is I needed to figure out how to look at the things in my life as the highlight. So I started doing that. Back in the day in the planner, we'd have like three things you were grateful for or something like that. And so I started writing like th three things that were awesome about today. And then I started doing it in the morning. Like I'd say, what do I have to look forward to today? And so just showing my brain that, hey, listen, there's some other great stuff going on in your life. It doesn't have to be that those Oreos at the end of the day. Here's what's awesome about today. And what's really cool is I was able to take that on vacations. I was able to take it when I go out to dinner. For example, when I go on vacations, I journal a lot about what is great about this vacation besides the buffet. Like, what am I really looking forward to? Because my brain was so used to going on vacation and thinking, thank God we get to eat all the things. Like, it was the best part because we had been restricting and restricting and restricting. Right. And I do the same thing when I go out to dinner. What's great about going out to dinner besides what you're eating? I mean, one of the things I tell myself all the time is I don't have to cook it. And that makes me feel good sometimes, right? I'm just going out and I am paying for the experience of someone else cooking for me. So that was my reason for nighttime eating. It was just the highlight of my day. I restricted myself all day long. For years I did that. And so I realized it was just a pattern that I was going to have to change my story around. And I was going to have to change some things that I did when I was doing my planning to help make breaking that habit easier. Because once my brain sort of figured out, like, hey, we don't need to just have this be the highlight of the day because we had cookies at, 2 o'clock or something like that. Then I was like, I was calmer and I was able to break that habit. Now, some of y'all may not have that. That may not be your reason. It may not be because it was the highlight of your day. Some other things that I hear are, it's my time to wind down, right? Like it's the time that I need to relax. And I mean, I'm not going to say that I've never done that. I can sort of relate to that too. You start eating the cookies and then all of a sudden, have you ever done this? You're eating and then you just feel yourself go, okay, I can relax now. Like I've had that, And we just have this huge association with what we're eating and being able to relax. And we just see, sort of need to unmarry those things, right? Like we need to say, okay, how else can I relax besides the glass of wine or the cookies or the ice cream or the popcorn? Maybe you're a salty person. I keep saying sweets, like I just assume everybody's eating dessert, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just randomly roaming the pantry and eating, whatever you can find. So, all right, let me look in the chat and see what y'all are talking about. I don't see any hands raised, so I'm guessing nobody on here is a nighttime eater and doesn't have anything to work on with that. So let's see. Karen is at Karen Brent, y'all. Karen Brent's in the house. She is at Planet Fitness. Yes to the double stuff. Yes. Hey, Jean. Yes, it's me. Hey, Lori. Sheila says, I eat at night because I'm lonely. Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. This is one of those feelings that lonely is a is an interesting feeling. One of the best ways that I deal with lonely, some people will say, like, well, phone a friend and go out and reach out to somebody, get on Facebook, and those are great options. But sometimes for me, when I'm feeling lonely, Sheila, the best thing I can do for myself is just tell myself, I'm just feeling lonely. That's a normal feeling to have. For me, that gives me a lot of comfort to just validate my lonely feelings. And then once I validate that I am feeling lonely, then my brain starts to go to work on, like, okay, it's okay to be lonely. Sometimes we all need to be able to have the experience of being able to be lonely and feel that and know what that's like. And then my brain can go to work on what could we do, right? So that's a good one, Sheila. Thanks for sharing that. Karen, she says, I eat at night to distract from my brain shitty thoughts. Word, right? That's a great, thanks, Karen, for that. That's another reason a lot of us eat at night. We go through our whole day and we're so busy, right? And at night, sometimes it's the first time we have to sit down and really think about our lives, our day, what we said to our coworker or our boss, or if we were a good mom, those kinds of things. And so when it's quiet and it's just you and your thoughts, sometimes that's the only time that they can be heard. And then we eat to just sort of cover those up. Because let's face it, I mean, most of us, our self-talk, especially if you're new to OBS, probably not that great. So if you're gonna ask yourself at the end of your day, if you're gonna ask your habit brain, hey, how did I do today? Most of the time, it's not gonna give you a gold star. You're going to have to choose to give yourself the gold star. So that's a good one, Karen. Luann says, I learned a lot about my nighttime eating in relationships camp. The food didn't hit because I was getting my connection fix at camp. Isn't that interesting? So you figured out, Luann, that your nighttime eating was maybe a little bit about lonely and you were looking for some connection. That's awesome. Rose says, all day I work hard to keep things on track and under control. Oh, can y'all just feel her grip on something when she says that? I work so hard to keep things on track and under control. And then at night, it just feels so relaxing to sit down with a whole freaking bag of M&Ms or tortilla chips, right? And just because you just want to release the grip. So here's my question to you, Rose, and this might be something you can journal on. Do you think you can let go of control from all the things during the day and relax without eating? What would that look like? Like, what would you be doing if you weren't eating, but you were also relaxing? And what would you be telling yourself? And y'all, I think that's one of the most important parts of this. Your story around what you're telling yourself is so important. What kinds of things, Rose, would you be saying to yourself? And what would you actually be doing? How would you relax and just allow yourself to let go of that control without the tortilla chips and the M&Ms? And boy, can I relate to that. I used to do the sweet, salty, sweet, salty. Okay, I just had something sweet. Now I need something salty. It was like this constant back and forth, right? So what would you be doing? That's a great one. Thanks for sharing that. Cindy says, I eat at night to feel like I'm getting away with something. When my husband has gone to bed, he won't know that I'm eating or what I'm eating. Yeah, that's about restriction and shame around our choices, right, Cindy? So how can you give yourself permission? What would you have to believe about yourself to give yourself permission to enjoy those foods that you're, and I'm just going to say sneaking because it's what it sounds like a little bit. How can you give yourself permission to enjoy those foods? What is it about you that makes you feel like you have to sneak them or you have to hide when you're eating those kinds of foods? Because I'm here to tell y'all, I don't care if you're 150 pounds, 120 pounds, or 350 pounds, you deserve to enjoy M&Ms. You deserve to enjoy pizza. You deserve to enjoy chips. And a lot of us feel like we don't deserve those foods because we're overweight, and that's wrong. That is wrong. Okay. Let's see. We've got some hand wave. Hand wave? No, we have some hands raised. Okay, Cheryl, I'm going to call you up and let's do some coaching, y'all. It's been a minute since I've been on one of these nighttime calls. I usually do the maintenance calls. Okay. Promote to panelist, Cheryl. You're coming on the screen. Okay. Hey, Cheryl.
Hi.
It's great to meet you.
Thank you. Great to meet you. Thank you for you put the guilt out there when you said I guess nobody has a problem with nighttime eating, and I'm like, okay, I have
It's so funny that you view it as guilt, and I'm really thinking, holy crap, No BS is so good. We have all the resources. Everybody's doing awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm like, okay, I was a teacher for 30 years, so I have to self-report now.
Okay.
And yeah, so this is like my only topic. And I know the only topic that continually, causes problems. Other things cause problems, but not continually. Okay. Like,
Okay.
so I had a doctor tell my doctor told me a few months ago, all you have to do is not eat 3 hours before you go to bed and you're going to lose weight. And, I thought about it for a few days. I thought that's a good thing. If he says it, I'll do it. He's been my doctor forever. But then
Yeah.
somebody else, we talked about it. No, it doesn't matter if it's, you eat it. If you eat something 2 hours before, that doesn't matter. So anyway, I just constantly find that even if I brush my teeth and say that's it, the night's too long. I'm retired, so I really don't have to go to sleep, even though I don't stay up super late. But it annoys the heck out of me because during the day, I would never eat that, And at night, like, do you have Trader Joe's?
Oh yeah.
Okay, you know what Jingle Jangle is?
No, but that sounds
Okay.
interesting.
Oh, it's terrible. What did my daughter kryptonite? So, it's a holiday mix in a tin, like a cookie tin, and
Okay.
it's pretzels, M&Ms, mini Reese's, everything coated with like triple chocolate, okay?
Okay.
And popcorn. So we got the
Okay.
salty. So I didn't buy any, didn't buy it. I bought a tiny little bag. They had single serving bags. Okay. And didn't even eat that at one time. I ate it in a couple of times. Well, guess what? They were giving them away free. I kept on saying, why didn't they lower the price? Because they have them after Christmas. I got a free one and I thought, oh, this is not good. This is not good. But didn't open it for a long time and then finally opened it. I was waiting until we had company over because it would be a good thing to offer. And guess what I did? It just, I don't know how much I ate. I put it in a bowl and I did that two times.
Okay.
And
How often do you eat food like that, Cheryl?
not often because I don't buy it. See, I was given this. But I will make something like, melt chocolate chips, and it's semi healthy because I'll do like rice crackers in the chocolate chips, but then add some peanut butter, just
Okay.
saucy. Yeah.
How long have you been in OBS?
A couple of months.
Okay, so you're kind of
Yes,
new. Okay,
yes.
tell me what the basics are.
The
You didn't know
basic.
you were going to get a pop quiz, but I figured since you were a
Yes, I
teacher, you
know it
would
was so
totally be cool with
funny.
it.
So, you mean stopping when enough?
Stopping it
Get
enough, okay?
right, getting rest,
Sleep,
sleep, water, And positive self-talk.
Nope, not
Is
one of the
that
four
not
basics.
one of the four basics? Okay. Exercise, movement. No.
No.
I'm mixing up my different categories of
Okay,
things.
I'm going to give you the get out of jail free card.
Thank
It's
you.
get your, okay, starts with self-care, sleep and water. Those are really important. Sleep and
Right.
water, got to get your sleep and water in because that's meeting your basic need. Got to
Right.
do that, right? Waiting for hunger,
Right.
making sure you're not eating just because your brain says you want it. We
Right.
want to make sure that our stomach says we want it, right? And we need it. So waiting for hunger and stopping it enough, and then
Right.
making a daily plan for what you're
Right. Right. Okay.
doing. Okay. So it's just those four simple things.
Okay.
So this is what I recommend. So many of us, Cheryl, come to No BS and we have so many ideas of what we're supposed to be doing, right? Because we've done so many different diets. And so it's hard not to like take little pieces of all the things and being like, you know, carbs are bad. You know, dessert is bad. Like what your doctor said, eating, you know, eating 3 hours before bed, bad. You know, you need to eat 30 minutes after you work out, you know, all these rules. And so we come to No BS and we sort of try to mash them all up, right? And we try to incorporate all the things that we think are true and that are from our other, all the other diets we've done, right? But I really, really, really want you to lean in to just the four simple basics. Water, sleep, wait for a hunger signal, stop when your stomach says, hey, we're good, and write down your plan for the day. And you may not be to all of those yet, like since you've couple months, you may be like, I'm still working on sleep and water. Great. Stick with those until you feel pretty good about those. Okay.
I actually am doing the plan. You know, my what and it's pretty. I mean, I really liked that because it's made me get up, because I do this other thing where I schedule for my day. Since I am retired, I have to do this so that I, you know, so I have all the hours in the day what I have to do. And then on the other side, I do my 24-hour plan. I did print out the sheets, but sometimes I end up with too many papers, you know. But I found that helpful because the good thing is I do have healthy food at home, you know. And
But
so,
here's
yeah.
my advice to you. Here's my advice. Nowhere did I say stop eating before 3 hours before you go to bed. Now, listen, I am not trying to go against what your doctor suggests. Always take your doctor's advice if you feel that's what's best for you. But in terms of weight loss, the four basics are this: sleep and water, wait for hunger, stop it enough, make a plan. That's it. We've got to let go. We've got to trust this process. Trust us. Okay. This is how, girl, I did them all, right? I did them all. But I was tired of all the rules and the measuring and the counting and the worrying about this rule and that rule. And I really just wanted to learn how to trust my body. So before you start worrying about what you're eating, I only want you to focus on how much of it you're eating. I only want you to focus on, am I hungry? Is my stomach saying, hey, girl, we're good? Okay. Because you've got to rebuild this relationship with all of these foods that you don't have a good relationship with. So it makes total sense to me. What'd you call it? Jingle jangle?
Yes.
I feel like that should be a song. And y'all, I'm just gonna apologize. I have not done a call at this time in a long time. And I'm in a new house. I did not think about the sun coming in these windows right now. So if you're watching this replay, I am so sorry that I look like probably a crazy person right now. But I'm trying to hunker down so you can. But no wonder when the jingle jangle came back into your life, ate it the way that you've always eaten it. Because that's the relationship you have with it. Y'all ever have like one of those friends that you're like, you know, dang, every time I hang out with Christy, all we do is like smoke and drink. You know, that's just my smoking and drinking friend. I don't know why I said smoking. I've never smoked in my life. Anyway, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, but then you have this other friend that you never do that with, right? It's like, this is just because that's the relationship you have with Christy. So this is the relationship you have with Jingle Jangle. And
Yeah.
there's probably a lot of its cousins too. And
Right.
you went to, right?
Yeah.
See, your brain is trying to say things like, but like when you were telling me about the chocolate chip thing that you do, and you were like, but it's a healthy ver, you know. So your brain is really stuck on what you're eating and not how much.
Right.
And listen, I am not saying that you can't care about that. That is not what I'm saying. But my recommendation is and this is for everyone, if you are still trying to like focus on, if you still think what you're eating is the problem and you're not good at doable hunger, you need to back it up. Because here's the thing. I was on a new member call this morning and I said this very same thing. I'm a huge fan of work smarter, not harder. What if you don't have to change anything? What if you can eat jingle jangle and get all the way to your goal weight? I mean, who's to say? I mean, I don't know, but I know that you can't get there if you're overeating it. So let's fix that first before we just start taking things away.
That makes sense. And I really do like that because that's what drew me to this is like my third program from a podcast. And it's like each time I get closer to, and of course, Weight Watchers for Life, everything else, but I did not, I don't want to have to track everything I eat. And I actually had this weird kind of epiphany when we were on vacation at a national park, and I look at all the animals and I'm thinking, there's no animal that is not within the range of all the other animals. You know, they all weigh what they're supposed to weigh, you know? And I think, and you look at humans and you've got such a range, and I think that's something's wrong, you know? So I wanted something like this that was more intuitive and not forcing me to, you know, read labels and do all that. But like you said, I fall back to that. Like sometimes I'll be like, oh, how many points would that be? And how many, you know, but.
Well, listen, I swear, I counted points for so many years. I think I probably still do it in like subconsciously. I can look at something and be like, that's 4 points. My sister and I we used to do Weight Watchers together. And whenever we didn't know something, she'd be like, oh, it's just 2 points. Everything's 2 points, right? But I mean, you may always still do that, and that's okay. But here's the thing, you've got the best tracker. It's your stomach. It's tracking for you. Your stomach is tracking for you. You don't need external things to tell you. You know, I mean, look at babies. Babies are overeating, right? Babies are just, when they don't want their food, they turn their head and they do this. They're not worried about you taking food away, right? They're not, you know, thinking this is bad for me, I shouldn't be having it. They're hungry or they're not. And then we spend our whole lives undoing that connection to ourselves. And then we come to know BS and we're like, can you fix me, please? Because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to eat. I can't trust myself. What does hunger even feel like anymore? I don't even know. Because we've just eroded that trust that in the connection that we have with our body. So that's what I want you to do. I want you to take yourself back. I want to like flashy, no men in black thing you and erase all your diet crap. And I just want you to say, is this a basic or not? If it's not a basic, don't worry about it right now. There may come a time, Cheryl, that you're like, Christy, I'm doing doable hunger. Like, I am waiting for hunger. I am stopping it enough. But I'll be darned, the scale is just hasn't moved in like 6 weeks. And then I'll say, all right, Cheryl, time to look at what you're eating. Let's talk about it. Like, could we make some small level ups and stuff? But you're not there yet. Until you can get really, Corinne, this was years ago. I don't know if she would say this now, but I swear to you, she said this. This was 2018. She said, until you get really good at doable hunger, you have no business leveling up your food. Now, I don't think she'd say something so emphatic now.
Right.
She would, I don't know. But it stuck with me. And it was like, okay. So she's saying, let's really get good at this first. Because when we start thinking, I should be eating this, I shouldn't be eating this, It triggers that habit part, that little survival brain part of us being like, oh my gosh, she's going to take that shit away again. And it's like, no, we're not. Let's just get good at eating the things we want within doable hunger. So I'm sorry that they only sell Jingle Jangle at the holidays, because my assignment, your homework assignment for me would be to go buy like six tins of that shit until you could sit there and be like, this is the relationship I want to have with Jingle Jangle. And I'm going
Well,
to practice that.
right. Okay. Who knows? They might give me another free one. I don't.
Well, and you can pick something else. I mean,
Right.
if
No,
there's
but
anything else,
the
if there's
concept
anything
is yes.
else, yes, that you feel like I shouldn't be doing this, because it sounds to me like your nighttime eating, at least specifically in the example you gave me, is about restriction and good food, bad food.
Exactly. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you
Okay.
so much.
You're welcome. Okay. I would love for you to come back to either ask coaches, or if you're in the Facebook group, come back and just say,
Yes.
I'm working on it and I'm planning
Okay.
this stuff and I'm eating it the way that I want to eat it. Okay.
I will. I will. I
Let us
definitely
know. You get
will.
lots of love in the chat too.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, love.
Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. I'm getting better and better at this. I'm gonna remove you. Let's see. Control to attendee. Okay, let's see. I know it does look like I have a halo, doesn't it? Oh, it's so bad, y'all. I don't even know how to fix it. I don't, if I get up from my chair, I don't have anything to cover the window with. All right, so I'm just gonna stay hunkered down like a crazy person. All right, Zoom user. Wouldn't that be cool if that was somebody's actual name? Let's see. Reminds me of that song. Who's zooming who? Oh, I think I'm showing my age by singing that. Who's saying that? Is that Patti LaBelle? Take another look and tell me, baby. All right, Zoom user. Oh, she's in her car. She is really zooming. This is for real. You're not actually driving, are you?
I'm like a block away from my house.
Okay, we're gonna pretend you're not. Hi, Zoom
That's
user.
right.
What's your name? Can you share your name?
I'm Sally.
Hi, Sally. Nice to meet you. I'm Christy.
Hi, Christy.
Okay, talk to me
So,
about your nighttime stuff.
well, I have a couple issues going on with nighttime, and I think a lot of it is not wanting to deal or trying to figure out how to deal with certain emotions. So my husband, basically never comes home and has dinner with me. He goes to work and then he goes to the bar. And So I come home and I make my plate and I sit in front of the TV. One, to relax, but then two, like also like the noise from the TV, so I'm not alone, right? So I struggle with, eating a little bit too much because I'm not focusing probably on what I'm doing. And then two, like
All
with
right,
the
let me ask
lonely.
you this, Sally. Do you really think it's because you're not focusing on what you're doing?
I think it's because I'm lonely and I'm pissed off that he's not at home, that he's out drinking every day.
Yeah, so I don't know why you're not focusing on that. That sounds super fun.
I think because I don't know how to.
That's what I mean. I mean, I wouldn't want to either. I mean, no
Like,
wonder you're using the food to avoid that. That makes sense to me.
I love him a lot. It's like I don't necessarily want to get divorced. And then sometimes I feel like I want to make like the rock bottom or ultimatum, but quite honestly, I financially really can't afford to live alone. I don't make enough money. So I'm kind of like at that point where I got to get out of my shitty diaper and not let what he does affect me. I'm like, if that's the path he wants to go, that's on him. But at the same time, I feel lonely and I feel like the bar people, the bar friends, everything else is put in front of me.
I can understand that if you're thinking that everything else is put in front of you, that does not feel good.
sucks. And like, whenever it's like the weekends or holy shit, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. You never have to apologize in these calls, love. Never.
I just feel like, and it's like whenever we do have time to do things together, it's like, let's go to the pub. We can hang out with our friends there. Or it's like going out to eat. Everything is always around like those two things. And I recently had weight loss surgery in December, and I'm like, I can't, I'm not on the same lifestyle as that anymore. And I want this to work, and yeah, that's where I'm at.
Okay. What do you think you need at night?
I just miss companionship. I miss somebody coming home and like talking to me and not being buzzed.
Have you tried talking to him about how you feel?
Yes, he doesn't want to change.
Okay.
He's like, he goes, and some of it's kind of hurtful in a way, because it's like, well, I'm not gonna change. I've been doing this. You knew what you married, and which, it's like we were younger then. It's like, we're older now. I'm like, you can't still keep living the same lifestyle. And he's like, I might not be around, so don't spend all the 401k money at one time. And that's like really hurtful. And I'm like, oh, well, gee, thanks a lot. Like, I love you, and I'm watching this person that I'm married to that I love kill themselves.
So he's not interested in changing.
No.
Okay. But yet you want to make this work.
Yeah, I mean,
So what would you need to let go of in order for you to make this
trying to
work?
change him, I guess.
Yeah.
Getting
So what?
used to just doing my own thing.
Okay. That's probably the first step, right? Is realizing that you can't change him. But how do we stay in the relationship and be happy?
I don't know.
What would you have to think?
I guess that's where I'm stuck all the time.
What do you love about him?
He is very, I mean, outside of like this, he is very kind. He's very thoughtful. He's generous. And when we do go on vacation and do things together, we have a good time. He's like laid back and easygoing. I mean, we really don't fight. I just feel like right now I'm like, I think I'm just more frustrated with him because I don't want him like at the bar every day. I want him at home doing things with me, but then I'm like, we've been married for so long that I'm probably boring. Like we're probably both in a like, you know what I mean? Like you've been together so long, it's the same thing day in and day out. And when I make suggestions, hey, do you want to try going to the gym together, or do you want to try doing this or that? Like, as far as any physical activities, not like interested in.
Do you think that you could see a life for the two of you where you, what kinds of things do you do together? Like what is your time that you do spend together?
sounds bad, but pretty much watching TV or hanging
Why
out
does
with
that say, why do
friends.
you say that sounds bad?
Because it's boring.
Oh, is it? Dang, I must be boring too then, Sally. That's what I do
I
too.
mean, I guess like, he gets I work all day. He gets home, it's like 8 o'clock, so I might be watch an hour or two to TV and then get up, go to work, redo it the same day. And by the time the weekend comes, he sleeps half the day, and then it's like, oh, let's go to the pub. I don't know.
Well, here's what I'm getting at. If you stay in this relationship, and that's totally your option, right? Like you mentioned, you said earlier, I don't want to divorce him, right? And that's for you to decide, right? Like that's totally up to you. But if your decision in this moment, like today, is that I'm not going anywhere, I'm staying, and you are interested in staying in the relationship and being able to have as much happiness that is available to you, then number one, you already said the first step, which is stop trying to change him, because we can only express what we would like to happen, but truly it's up to him if he wants to or not, right? But then my suggestion to you is to point your brain to the things that you do together and what you love about him, exactly how he is. Unconditional love and acceptance is a gift you give to yourself. It's not something you give to him. It's what you give to yourself. That's only if you want to stay.
And
You
I
are
guess,
certainly
like,
allowed to have, I would wish I had this kind of partner and I wish he was like this, but that's only hurting you.
yeah. So, what do you do in those moments when you feel angry or lonely at the same time without turning to food?
Remember at the top of the call when I said, or you may not have been on because you were driving, but at the top of the call, I said, the most helpful thing for me when I'm lonely is to acknowledge and validate myself for how I feel. I'm feeling lonely because. I'm feeling angry because. Just validate those feelings. There's like an inner part of you that is making his actions mean something about you. You called yourself boring earlier, but you're making his actions mean negative things about you. There's a little person inside of you that is looking at the way he shows up and his actions, and you have a bunch of thoughts about those actions that is making it mean stuff about you personally. But what if it doesn't have anything to do with you? What if it has everything to do with him? What if he just, whatever the reasons he has for doing that is all about him and it's not about you?
I suppose that's true, and I think my first husband cheated on me and got somebody else pregnant, and basically at that time was like, if you didn't have too bad you she doesn't have your brain, 'cause she sure has a great body. And I think, like, and at that time I was 18, 20 years old, and he was a couple of years older than me, but I think a lot of from that past I've carried on. And so, like, I always compare it to it's because of me. Like, there's something wrong with me.
So many of us, Sally, we have that same lens. Everything, we just have that. It's because of me. I'm not worthy. A lot of us wear that lens. It's a very common one for people who are overweight and overeating. We overeat to compensate for how we feel about ourselves. And so, of course, your past is triggering. And you're using your past to interpret what you're going through right now. And I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I don't know. I just know that, of course, based on your past, that that's what you're making his actions today mean. But that's not the only story that's available to tell yourself.
Okay.
So my
So what do I
recommendation.
do in the moment to, like, make myself feel better?
Okay, so the first thing I said was validate your feelings.
Okay.
That was my first advice. I would start at night before you eat. This is what I recommend. Are you really wanting to fix this?
Yeah.
You really do. Okay, good. I'm with you. We're doing it. The first thing I would recommend is before you eat, get yourself a little notebook and you just write down, I'm feeling lonely, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling whatever, because, and just answer the question, and then see if your urge to go get food isn't lessened just a little bit. So much can happen when we just put our feelings on display to ourselves. Because so many of us eat to tamp down our feelings because we don't want to acknowledge them. Like it's almost like it happens like this is a lot of my clients will say, well, like before I knew it, I was just, I don't even know what happened. Right? Like, so when I ask them, well, like, what were you feeling? They're like, I don't even know. Because it's just so automatic for us to sense that feeling. And for those of us that have like a traumatic past with those kinds of feelings, man, we're going to shut that shit down before it even gets to the surface. So a lot of us don't even realize that's what we're doing. So before you eat for the next week, I want you to write, I'm feeling blank because, I'm feeling blank because, and see if just validating and acknowledging that feeling isn't enough to turn the urge down a little bit, because sometimes inner us just wants to be heard. And I think that could be really helpful. The second thing I would do, look, you said, how do I make myself feel better? And we're always in such a rush to feel better, aren't we? And I'm going to give you a suggestion, but I really want you to do the first part first. But since I don't know if you're going to be able to get back to me, I hope you do. But if I'm going to give you the second part right now, for once you do this for a week or so, once you just write down, I'm feeling blank because, do that for like a week or so. And then after that, I want you to think about, what do I love about my husband? What is our time that we spend together? Where is that? Because right now your brain is focusing on the time you're not getting. It's not thinking about the times that you are together. So it's you're feeling like there's a lack. And again, y'all don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying she needs to think all sunshine and rainbows about this. You get to do whatever you want. But you said, I want to stay. I want this to work. And so, if it's going to work and you're going to be happy, we have to work on what you're telling yourself about the relationship, because we can't change him. I mean, you can keep asking and you can keep saying, I really wish, and I really, and I hope you do. But happiness is still available to you if you look at, here's what I love about him. Here's the time we do spend together, and I'm going to focus on that. So I'm looking at what I do have instead of what I don't. Okay. Then I don't know if we have access to this anymore, so I might be speaking out the wrong side of my face. But there was in the relationships course, I think somebody talked about it earlier, but there's the last exercise in the relationships course, and you don't need to do the course to hear what I'm about to tell you, because I'm going to tell you the last exercise. But it talks about your circles. And I love this idea. I think a lot of us grow up with this romantic idea of what marriage is supposed to look like, right? And like our husbands are supposed to just, or our partners are supposed to just want to be with us all the time and this and that and the other. And I'm married to somebody who we don't do a lot together other than watch TV. So when you said watching TV was boring, I was like, dang, I'm boring. But anyway, my
I'm
husband,
sorry, I didn't mean it like that.
no, I'm just messing with you, Sally. You obviously haven't coached with me before. I never tell the, I never am serious. I'm always joking. But I have a husband that is really into like dirt biking and golfing and being outside, and I ain't into any of that shit. So about the only thing that we do together, well, besides the obvious, is watch TV, right? We do a lot of watching TV. Sometimes we go to the movies. Sometimes I make him go to Costco with me, but that's only if he's like kicking and screaming usually. But that's kind of the extent of what we do. And there was a time that I thought there was something wrong with our marriage because we didn't have things in common. And I realize now I just needed to have more circles. So, who is your person for doing the things you want to do? Can you make a circle like, here's my friend that I go pickleball with. Here's my friend that I go to lunch with. Here's my person that I do this with. Here's what my husband and I do. We can have like pockets of people. And it's okay that your husband doesn't fit in all of them. It's okay. That's some Hollywood bullshit that doesn't have to be true.
And you're probably right on that. I don't have a lot of circles because a lot of it is trust issues. And again, this stems from my first marriage because my best friend supposedly ended up, after everything I went through with my ex-husband, and we got somebody else pregnant while we were married and all this other stuff, she ended up going out with him. And she knew how hurt and all the bad things. And she's like, well, I always liked him. I was like, okay. And then just, I think just not like, I feel like I have so much of my own, like, drama. Like, I don't need any more people trying. But you're probably right. I probably do need to work on having other relationships outside of just focusing on the one.
Well, and it's listen, I'm thank you for sharing that. I mean, and so it's going to feel risky to you to do that. It's going to feel like you're risking your safety when you trust other people and you invite people into your circle. So I'm going to give you a couple options for that. Number one is be willing to take the risk, but promise yourself that you'll protect yourself if something like that were to ever happen again. You will take care of yourself emotionally. Or if you're not ready to do that, work on being your own best friend right now. Because right now, right, when you're overeating and you're not following through on your promises that you make to yourself in the morning and those kinds of things about how you're eating at night, you're not being your own best friend either.
Right. And I have been good since my weight loss surgery, but I feel like I need to, and that's partly why I joined No BS again. It's to figure out the brain, like this stuff.
Yeah, the
Because at
emotional
some
stuff.
point, like the hunger stuff is going to come back, or like you're going to be on less restriction, and I don't want to regain what I've lost. I don't want this last option that I've gone through to fail.
Yeah. Well, and I'm so glad that you're recognizing now that you have fear about regain. And that's the inner person in you going, waving the white flag, like going, please, Sally, can you figure this out? Because I don't want to regain, and you're willing to work on this and look at it.
And I feel like I've always stuffed my emotions. I mean,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, since childhood, I guess I'm a hot mess. I got a lot of shit.
Girl. You joined the group of hot shit, got a lot of, what is it, the Hot Mess Express? Like all of
Yeah.
us. I mean, listen, nobody's in No BS because we have healthy relationships with ourselves and food. We all learned to cope with our feelings with food for some reason or another, every single one of us. I mean, because if it were true, if that were not true, if it was just like, hey, just eat when your body says it needs food and stop when it's had enough. We'd all be thin. If it were that simple, nobody would join No BS because Corinne gives the four basics away for free.
Right.
We're all here to reconnect with ourselves mentally and physically, every single one of us. You are in good company, my friend.
Okay. So I'm going to, the first step you said was validate my feelings.
Yep. Get you a little notebook. Write it down before you go to get anything to eat on any night. I want you to write down, I'm feeling blank. And if you're not sure, like if you have trouble pinpointing, there's feelings wheels out there. There's Word Hippo. There's a great app called How We Feel, and it's free. I love a free app. And it's really, really good. And it's very simple to use. And it's on your phone. And you literally can just like, it's like a menu of feelings and you can just click. It even gives you the definitions of the feelings if you're not sure exactly what it is. But there's, and you can watch this call back to get these suggestions. But yes, I'm feeling blank because, and then just fill in the blank and just see what that does. Do that for the next week. See how that does. My next suggestion to you was to either make your circle bigger by being your own best friend or see if you can't come up with circles to fill the need that you feel like your husband is not. And then the other suggestion I had for you was focus on the times that you do have with your husband and that you do spend with your husband. Look at those as gifts and be present in those moments with him.
Okay.
Okay.
Try that.
What's that?
I'm going to try that.
I hope you do. I hope you do because this is the work, right? We work on ourselves to create the lives that we want. If I had the power to control other people, y'all, I would not be working for no BS. I would be on a yacht somewhere. Yeah, we can't change others, but we can change ourselves.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
If
Okay.
I could take, if I could lift the wand and take the drinking away and spend more time with me and do what I want you to do.
Yeah, right.
But I
I
can't do
know.
that.
I know. Well, if you ever do figure that out, will you please share with the rest of us? Because we would pay you handsomely for that.
Right.
Yeah. But the cool thing is that, and I guess if I had to summarize kind of what I'm thinking is happiness is available to you without him changing a damn thing. Now, what that looks like is up to you. But it's you can choose to stay in this relationship and be happy if you want. You can. I'm not saying it wouldn't be work. I mean, it's going to be work either way.
Right.
Whatever you decide is A-okay.
Well, I feel much better. I think I just needed someone to talk to.
I'm always here for you. And seriously, please reach out to me in Facebook. If you've never considered private coaching, I don't know if that's available to you or not, but that's a great option too. Our coaches are amazing. We coach on stuff outside of weight loss. We coach life coaching things, relationships. Most of the time, people come to me for weight loss and we end up coaching on the reasons they're overeating to begin with, which is usually not the food. It's usually relationships or something else. So that's something to consider too. But if that's not available to you, hun, ask coaches. Like seriously, you can have a back and forth with the coach. Do you know how to use Ask Coaches?
Yes, and I actually took advantage of your sale. So my appointment's next month with Coach Ashley.
Oh my God, y'all. I can't even with this. Okay, I'm gonna tell her that we coach tonight and I'm gonna give her this call to listen to so she kind of has a little bit of a heads up and a little bit of background. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. And there were some other suggestions in here in the chat. Somebody suggested Al-Anon. Of course, we're not saying, it just could be a helpful support for you if you're struggling with the drinking piece with your husband. That's a great resource for you. It's free and that could be helpful. And then Lori Dorman, Dorman, says, look me up on the Facebook group. Let's all connect if anybody wants to. So there's some people that are creating a circle for you right now.
Okay, well, I'll have to go back and read
Yeah,
the.
no. Do. And thank you for sharing your story. And please read that chat. So many people were commenting. They're giving you hearts, they're giving you thumbs up. Your no BS family is right here with you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, love. Have a great night.
You too.
Okay. Oh, so many times, y'all, the reasons we overeat, when we finally really get to working on what those things are, weight loss gets a lot easier. And it's scary, right? It's scary to face these issues. They feel big sometimes. They feel like we don't even want to like poke that bear. We don't want to open Pandora's box like that. But the truth is, that stuff is going through your brain all the time. Looking at it at least gives you the option of changing your thinking about it or making a different decision. So either way, it's work. Stuffing your feelings down is work, but so is looking at them. So choose the one that's going to get you where you want to go. Okay, y'all. Everybody, good call tonight. I am off. I'm going to share this with y'all. My daughter is turning 21 tomorrow. So I am driving down so I can be with her on her birthday. And then my son is getting married on Sunday. It is a big week for me. So I hope y'all have a fantastic Tuesday and a really great week. And thanks for being on the call, everybody. Take care.